She said, Jesus is Lord. She was a demon possessed. She could do. She said, well, that's it. She's saved. So, Jesus said, I know you not. In other words, this parable teaches that not only does the Lord return at a time when people are expecting, but here's a new twist to it. It's not completely new because the last one about the guy that was a hypocrite kind of talks to you, but the point of this one is, comes in real heavy now. Too late. Too late. There's coming a time in life that God warned us and he warned us, and he said, watch, I'm coming, you ready, you ready? And he loves us, that's why I told us so many times. But nevertheless, we need to know what is the fate of those that ignore this warning. Too late. There is a time when, let me take the good news. The people on the cross were too late to come. If you get saved, dying on your deathbed, you get saved in the last moments of your life. But when Jesus returns, just before he returns, everybody gets the last chance. Just before he returns, everyone that's alive on the earth has one last chance. And when they make that, whatever decision they make, it's too late. It's too late. Because moments later, Jesus returns, and all the wicked will put to death. But they had a lot of chances all through the tribulation, they had a tremendous number of chances to get saved. Because, well, what does this parable mean? Listen, no human on this earth is entitled to an opinion about what this parable means. Jesus told everyone what this parable means, and you already know. We just talked about three stories that teach the same thing. You'll see they're all just reinforcing each other. The parable is explained to us by Jesus himself. Therefore, beloved, none of us are allowed our personal opinion. What does this parable mean? Verse 13. Jesus said, now what this means is, the point we're teaching, watch, therefore, because you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man comes. She's been saying that story after story. Every story talks about it. So please, y'all, don't make this story come out with a split rapture or people losing their salvation that were already saved, but they ran out of oil because they questioned Jesus. You cannot do it. Not allowed to do that. You can believe it if you want to, but please don't use that, those scriptures to prove it. You're out of context. Learn. Do you see what I'm teaching tonight? How to do it. Observe these difficult ones that might have been difficult for you. Read around it and see what's being taught. And notice how easy it is to tell us, man, if you just take a pencil and write down, I think I see a contrast. Let's see if it holds up. We have wise and unwise. We have foolish and Christians. You can say, you have to call it that. That little outline, this simple outline of what this stuff is, pretty simple to me. I think there's a lot of stickler that can come up with that. And that's the other thing I want you to get. The deep truths of God are dirt simple when you see it. And most of you need that. Because, beloved, this is not just about you. This is not just how many years you've gone to university. That's what Christianity is about. It's read God's word, commit yourself to believe in God, and give you revelation. Read God's word, decide that you're going to decide what you think it means, and make up your own, and you'll probably end up being saved. All right, yeah, let's finish up. Next question, the last one. What if you heard about a man traveling to a far country, he called his own servants and delivered them unto them to give to it? Next question says that they're his own servants. Hey, you got that, what does that land at? Just because it's his servants doesn't mean they're all saved. You're seeing story after story where there's two kinds of servants. Good and bad. Look, in the Old Testament, Israel was called the son of God. Did you notice that? Or no, if you want to check that out, you can check, for example, Isaiah chapter 43, 44, 45. Many times, there's just for example, Israel, all of Israel was called the son of God. Did you ever notice that a bunch of those Jews were lost? Wicked. That's why they kept getting carried into captivity and things like that. And a bunch of people fight to call a servant of God. It doesn't mean that you're saved. It's like you're a good one or a bad one. Okay? Or moreover, this is the same thing exactly in John chapter 1, verse 11. It's speaking of Jesus and King, his own, and his own receiving not. So the fact that he said, don't get hung up and try to make that mean something that it doesn't mean. Call his own servant to live under them is good. Under one, he gave 5 talents. Ooh, let me tell you something. You know what a talent is in everyday language? A talent is about 20 years of the average working man's wages, all lumped together. The average working man's daily wages take over a 20th of one talent is a bunch of money. This is 5 talents, 100 years worth of the average working man's daily wage. This is a bundle of money. I'll make a point of that. I'm not going to tell you yet. But you can do a statement. Watch this. He gave 5 talents to one, verse 15 to another 2, to another 1. To every man according to his ability, and straightway to his drink. Then he gave 5 talents to one, with a friend, and made 5 other talents, likewise he, that had received 2. He also gained another 2. But he that received 1 went and dug the earth, and gave his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came. That's the third time we've seen it. Chapter 24, verse 48. The Lord delayed his coming. In chapter 25, verse 5, the bridegroom tarried. And now, it's after a long time, during 25, verse 19, the Lord came. After long, so you see that all the parables are teaching another truth. It will be a long time from when Jesus saves you until he comes. But that's the time. Okay? It came and reckoned with them. Ooh. I want you to see that it's going to be a personal reckoning. A personal reckoning. Each man is going to have to give a personal account. Watch it happen. Some of you that received 5 talents came and brought another 5 talents came, Lord. He delivered me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. And so I turned and well done, you've been faithful servant. Oh, you see it? With the Lord contrast, the separation is about to take place again. Like the foolish virgin to the wise virgin. A faithful servant. You can take over a few things. Help! Did you see God call 100-year salary? A few things. Of course, he owns everything in the universe. To God, from God's view, this was nothing. But from the human perspective, this is a ton of money. God said, you've been faithful over little. I will make you ruler. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of your work. Look, that's it. The reward for the wise. What do you think for us? These parables all teach it. There's the joy of God. And reward for all eternity. I'll make you a ruler over much. What should he? He also did receive 2 talents. He said, Lord, you have delivered me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 talents. I have gained 2 talents. Well done, you have faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I want you to rule over anything. Enter thou into the joy of your Lord. Now, you notice I like to compare verse 23 to verse 21. Exactly word for word, the commendation. I also want you to notice in verse 15, that he gave every man according to his own ability. Listen, every man's been created equal. In that every man has a soul and an equal chance to get saved. But beloved, we're not all created equal in the physical sense or in the talented sense. Some of us in here have much higher IQs than others. Some of us can run fast and some of us, if you can run fast, you just like to do it. If you're born pretty, you're pretty. If you're born ugly, you're ugly, honey. That's just the way it is. We are different. And some of us have different abilities. And listen, some of us don't want to be the manager. Some of us couldn't handle it. Oh, you might handle it with one kind of ability, but can't take the pressure. Or you might handle it with the pressure, but the truth is, you can't handle people. You've got the ability to do everything a manager needs to And you hear, you see the fire talent. And you hear that somebody that couldn't handle a fire talent job, fire talent. In other words, if somebody had been called to one ministry, others to another. Some of you frankly couldn't handle being a preacher. Some of you wives, you couldn't handle even your husband. You just don't know how much of our time goes to helping somebody else. And you're going to want that husband. If you do that again, you're going to be sick and be with someone else, especially at night. Some of you just couldn't do it. And you want to know the good news? God gave you a husband that was a car repairman. And you're miserable, because you've got preached on your family. And because you haven't made 50,000 a year. But see, there's all kinds of ways to be happy and to be content. And so all I'm saying here is that God teaches you to give different people different abilities, which you've got to keep in mind. You haven't, if you don't know that, you haven't observed anything in life. You can observe life. You're not a realist. I'm just a man. This is real stuff. But I want you to see the fairness of God is he didn't give you teaching, he didn't give anybody too much to do with it. Because now remember what God said, he gave every servant their work to do. Now this adds to that, yeah, and that one more than you know. Some of you think right now, oh, I can't handle my burden anymore. I've got all I can do. I'm about to collapse. I can't. That's not true. Corinthians 10:13 says, God says, I've never put on any of you tests that aren't, everybody else had read. And if the test gets too heavy, I'll make a way for you to escape. I'll make a way. I'll never give you more than you handle. You don't have to crack. You don't have to say, oh, I have no choice. I just have to go drink. Or I just have to take drugs. I'm just so whipped over this. Or I just have to go command over because I'm so despondent. You know, or I just have to lose my temper and chew you out. Because, you know, I just have to because I've been pushed to the limit. Okay. Not to know yet. I just showed you your limit right here as far as you thought it was. But I want you to see that. You know, I want you to see that he held each of them individually accountable for what he did give them. The responsibility he did lay on them. They had to give a personal individual reckoning. And the guy that had five and brought back five more, increased, he doubled. Got the exact same combination of guy that started out with two and doubled his. In other words, listen, the point there is, their faithfulness was being judged, and they were both equally faithful in proportion. Therefore, the praise from their Lord was the same. Now I want to say something. This story doesn't grab most of you, but it does me. I spent most of my life trying to please my earthly father, and nothing I ever did please him. I was an outstanding scholar. And I tell you that not to brag, but just to let you know that some of you think, you know, if only I'd been a brilliant student, I'd have been happy in life. That would have made me happy. I was. It didn't make me happy. My father never praised me. He never said, good going, son. I'm proud of you. I was 15 years old, I was senior in high school, I was captain of the football team, second biggest conference in the state. Never pleased him. I worked my way through college, I paid for my own college education, didn't have the money to do it. But it was a matter of hours, and something pleasing. I'll never forget, one semester of school, I came home with, now I'm taking 20 semester hours a semester. They get permission for the dean to do it, and they keep the grades up to do it. I brought home 4 A's, I'm majoring in math and science. I'm taking lab courses out of nowhere. For electives, after quantum mechanics and things like that, those are my elective courses. They were 4 A's in the week. That's at the same time that I'm boxing, on the boxing team, playing football. I played 5 varsity sports, and came home with 4 A's in the week. You want to know what I said? I sat down at the table, I put my report card, I burned my He looked at and said, looks like you need to do more work in history. I might add that I was the highest grade in the history class. He didn't get anybody made. The next semester, I came home with all A's. And I laid out a report card on the plate, and he took one look at it, sat inside, and said, nothing. I broke down and cried, I got up and left, and I realized it was impossible to please him. Because now I get back to people from 5 years old and that didn't please him. I can't get birds from 5 years old and that didn't please him. Nothing I could do pleasing. It may not mean much to you when you leave those tests. I don't want much out of life, though. Some of you think about the kind of rewards you want for all the time, I'm taking them. When I hear God say, and he's going to, you know, not because I'm wonderful, but because it's such a good day. He's going to say, well done, son, I'm pleased. You know, you can worry about flying in the sky and mansions on hills, but it's going to take you about 20 billion just to get over that. Just get over that. Now, I do want to tell you this. That same man that I described to you, a very hard man. But 2 years before he died, after I laid the Lord, he looked at me one day, after I tried everything in this world, becoming a good political manager, who's who in America, you know, I mean, I was there, you know, I was good stuff, but I couldn't please it. When I was teaching the Bible at Beaumont, in Houston. 2 years before he died, he was 81 years old, and he looked at me and said, no, son, I'm really pleased with your life. That's the only time I ever heard him say it. That was good. But you see, the problem is, the thing that I was doing to please him weren't worth anything anyway. It was all pride ego trips, y'all. And besides, he didn't know everything about me. The Father that's going to say these things to us knows everything about me. Hallelujah. That doesn't mean for happiness. And in verse 24, then he that received the one doubt came and said, Lord, I knew you. Now watch this. I knew you, that you're a hard man, reaching where you're not finding, gathering where you're not spreading. I want to tell you something. He said he knew the master. But I want you to see what's about to be said after this. Who didn't know him at all? You're a hard man. Now, we're going to see, the hard man is this man. He's judging other people by himself. And I was afraid. Well, that means he didn't love me. It's perfect. Look, I said, I'll be a fighting soldier. Are you afraid of him? Wrong reason. I said, because he's worthy. I said, because I love him. And I love him because he first loved me. I was afraid I wouldn't hear you down the earth and low. There you have what is yours. There's your talent back. The Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. Now you see it? We've had two that were said to be good and faithful servants. It's the separation again. It's the contrast of faith. Now he said, you wicked and slothful servant. You knew that I reap where I sowed, not, and yet I gathered where I've not spread. You knew that, huh? Because that's what you knew. You knew that. Now what he's saying is that's a lie. And he's going to prove it to all of us. He says, that's a lie. You didn't know that about me at all. You judged me by your own wicked heart. He says, you knew that? That's what you knew was the truth, huh? What can now confirm me as a liar? Verse 27. You ought, therefore, to know if that's true, that I was a wicked, if I was a hard man. Gathering while I'm not gone. If that was true, if you would agree that was true about me, then you knew what you would have done. If that was true, then you ought therefore to have put my money to the exchanger, and then by coming out here, receive my own interest. Because if you really were afraid, because I'm such a hard man. Instead of hiding the ground and giving me back exactly what I gave you, if you really thought that about me, what you would have done is, you'd have to fight and give your name, at least get me some interest. If you really did. Verse 28, take therefore the talent from him and give it to the man who has 10 talents. All unto everyone that has shall be given, and he shall have abundance, but from him that has not, shall be taken away from him even that which he has. In other words, they got no fruit, so they're lost. And the cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Hence, from that last verse, beloved, and the verses above in this Bible, God is righteous. He does punish the wicked. God is holy, and he is just. Now, some of you may have trouble, and I want to end on this with that one point. Why give it to the one that had 10? Why not give it to the one that started with 2 and doubled and made 4? If they both were equally faithful. Oh no, he gave originally each man to his own ability, right? The other man had more ability. Number one. Number two. All of you know this in business and in military. In the military, you've got a corporal, he's the best corporal you've ever had. He's a great man in the squad. There's a promotion due to captaincy. Over 150 men, a company. You've got another man that's the best first loose captain you've ever had. He's a platoon leader. He's got 50 men under him. Question. Which one of those two men are you going to make captain? The corporal or the lieutenant? You're going to make the lieutenant. Why? Because you, over their time, you see that he can handle 50 men. The other man has only proven that he can handle 8 well. See, when you promote him, then you promote the corporal to lieutenant and let's say he can handle 50. Because you don't, if you love a man, you never want to put him in a job that'll destroy him. You don't want to make his job become a burden. You want it to be a joy and a blessing. And the same thing is true in industry and in business. You don't make the best salesman you've got and promote him to division manager. You make the district manager that's the best one you've got, division manager first. All right. Party shots. Very quickly, let me say this to you. These passages were given to us to admonish and to encourage us all because love warns. What about? To be watchful and to be faithful. Now, let me say this. Even though they all basically taught the same thing, but there was a wicked one and a good one each time, and there was a reward and a punishment. There was a different emphasis in each story. I just want to make that very quick confession. For instance, in Matthew 24, verse 36, 42, the story of Noah. It's from the good ones that were taken, or the bad ones that were taken in judgment, and the good ones that were left. The main reason that was there is coming a time of separation and judgment. So don't you worry about the wicked. No, they're not going to be with us in heaven. Okay? The second story, chapter 24, verse 45, 51, the emphasis there, though they all had things in common, there was a different emphasis in it was that there will be, not only is there a separation coming, there will be a just recompense of reward. The hypocrite that said, my Lord, why are you coming and begin to beat his fellow servants? They should have been helping. The test is out of darkness with hypocrites. The only question was a hypocrite. There was a just recompense, and the good servant there was rewarded. A good reward. The first story about the virgin, the ten virgins, the wise and the foolish virgins, the main emphasis there, though they all had things in common, the main emphasis there was the time on it. That there's coming a time when it's too late. God says, I'm warning you, I'm warning you, I'm coming, I'm coming, I'm coming. But there's coming a time the door will be shut.